When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, what an hour we've had, and another one to come here as we continue on Get Up live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The squad is fired up. We got tons of football to get into here. We're looking for the enthusiasm. But I tell you what, the story of the night, the game of the year, the performance of the season belonged to Joel
O-lineman.
Embiid. Ladies and gentlemen, feast your eyes on this matchup. Embiid versus Wimbanyama for the first. Look at Joel. I was like, man, he's big.
Tall right there.
He's tall. But Joel Embiid was unreal. 24 points in the first quarter.
Too physical, too big. Triple team doesn't matter.
Look like Penei Sewell just bodying up on people. That's what I'm talking about, Embiid. Show them who the big man
is. All about the offensive line.
Look at Wimbanyama here. Watch this.
He long.
I dunk like that on my little net that I have on my front door.
Good for you.
In my house. In the foyer.
Way away.
In the foyer, yeah.
And then his, look how easy Wimbanyama makes this look. The little lefty flip.
The ball was like 12 feet in the air when he grabbed it out of the air on the pass.
He had 33 points last night, but the story became Embiid in the second half.
Look at this. Too big.
Yeah. Take that.
Yeah. Strong.
Receive. Wimbanyama's tall, but he's not thick.
No.
Look at Embiid working inside. This would, plus the free throw would give him 50 on the night, but he was just getting started. 59 through three quarters.
Call off the dogs. He's calling for the shot. Call him off.
Fourth quarter now, Embiid. This jumper will give him 65 points. 2 minutes to go. Crowd on their feet looking for 70. He's at 68. Is he going to give it up?
Carry it.
No, give it up.
We ain't looking for no assist. Take it to the rack.
70 points as he goes coast to coast. 94 feet for the final bucket to put the finishing touches on a historic performance. Yeah. 70 points. He's the third center in history.
What is he? Center.
To score.
You heard it.
David Robinson.
Center.
David Robinson did it once. Will Chamberlain did it six times. Joel Embiid is averaging 35 points a game as they get the win last night. What a performance. In the meantime, to the NFL, where all the conversation continues to be about the bummer for Buffalo's biggest bill. His name is Josh Allen. His offense was humming on Sunday against Kansas City until the final three drives where they scored 0 points and had just 58 yards of total offense. And the result was Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs ending their season for the third time in 4 years. Of course, it was last year that Joe Burrow and the Bengals did the same in Orchard Park. And so as Josh Allen tries to find a way to get over this hump, it's not because he hasn't played great. He's averaging 343 passing yards a game against the Chiefs and 9 touchdowns in the 3 losses. But as Ryan Clark said yesterday, here and other places, just not enough.
I don't believe that Josh Allen is the reason this team lost. I don't believe that. Right. You know what the greats are? The reason the team wins. And we could talk about kickers make kicks, defenses show up. That's not why we give people these gold jackets and put them in different places in the Hall of Fame. Josh Allen is an immense talent, and Josh Allen will probably win a Super Bowl one day. But we have to say that he's coming up short as far as it pertains to greatness.
It's been fascinating for me to watch and to be a part of the conversations that have ensued from this game and really have sort of gone on all season long and maybe longer than that with Josh Allen. It has gotten a disproportionate amount of attention as quarterbacks tend to do, Lewis, and I feel like people are sort of lining up on both sides of this debate. Is Josh Allen the reason his team loses? Is Josh Allen better than most people think he is? What's the right thing to say about Josh Allen today?
Look, there's the kind of like the macro discussion, and Graz made this point perfectly earlier when we were talking about this in regards to Dan Marino, right? Why isn't Dan Marino talked about the same way maybe as guys like Montana and guys like Elway are talked about? Because of the fact that they didn't win championships. And ultimately, in the macro discussion, that's how we're always going to judge. It's going to be how many championships have you won? How many times did you beat the other greats head-to-head? And in the biggest moments, or rather, did you have those big throws, those big-time throws, those game-changing throws that helped your team? Maybe it wasn't ultimately the last throw that helped your team, though, win the game. And with Josh, that's not happening for him right now. One, they're not winning the big games. And two, he hasn't made that spectacular throw where he just walks off into the sunset like we've seen Mahomes do. And until he does, deservedly so, I guess we should say, he will not be in that discussion. But there is always nuance when it comes to wins and losses in the NFL. And I know on a macro level, we don't want to have that kind of discussion. We're not going to sit around the bar and talk about, well, hey, you know what? Buffalo played, when Kansas City came out in 13 personnel, they didn't really adjust. They left their nickel in there, and that's why they ran the ball, you know.
But is that
we're not gonna,
is
but,
that
but it's
really
true.
The game was decided.
But it's true. It's hell yeah. I mean, that's a large reason why. That's a large, and you know what? Maybe Sean would have put extra linebackers in there if he had them. But we also don't want to make excuses for Buffalo over the fact that they were injured like they were. But they were, and Andy took advantage of it, which is good coaching. Okay, so, I mean, these are all things that factor into why they came up short, but I understand why we always attach the criticism and the blame to quarterbacks. We have a need to do it.
Yeah.
We're wired that way. We want to blame somebody.
Let me just say this, because this reminds me of the Peyton Manning conversation that I lived through for a number of years, right, of who's great. So if we're going to say the greats, right, and for what RC is saying, then there's one. It's not great, it's great. There's Patrick Mahomes, and then there's a conversation for everybody else. Because if you're trying to have this conversation and saying that Josh Allen doesn't measure up to all the other quarterbacks in the NFL minus Patrick Mahomes, then you're lying to yourself. Because he does. He measures up throwing it. He measures up running it. He measures up all of those things. He continues to get there. He's 5-5 in the playoffs, and 3 of the 5 losses came to Patrick Mahomes. So let's have that conversation. He's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. No one is, right? His teams aren't as good. No one has been. Patrick Mahomes been in the league, started 6 years, 6 AFC championship games. And don't give me that, hey, Burrow won, because they didn't win the Super Bowl. So if we're going to count rings, and I think you brought this up with the Michael Jordan point.
Yeah.
There are a lot of great players that were playing that didn't get rings. So let's then have that conversation. But don't call him not great. Because he is a great player.
RC's not here to defend himself.
I'm not. That's not just RC.
But I'm saying in general, I think Patrick Mahomes' name wasn't mentioned.
Right.
I don't think that it's about comparing him to Patrick Mahomes. I think it's about treating Josh Allen the way that we treat quarterbacks who can't get over the hump. And I think that's what a lot of people are offended by in the Josh Allen conversation, is the way that we come out of games after Josh Allen has lost, and deservedly so. He's played great in those games, but oftentimes we come out of those games saying, man, Josh Allen really needs some help. And it's off-putting and confusing to us, because we didn't, in the Peyton Manning conversation, we weren't like, hey, the Colts sure do have the same type of plays that they ran all season in the postseason. Peyton really needs some help. We didn't come out there blaming the defense if they didn't come up short. We're like, Peyton Manning can't get over the hump. And that's what I think people are off-put by in this conversation, is it feels like perpetually with Josh Allen, there is, at the beginning of his career, started out slow and there was excuses being made for him. He turns into an incredible player, and now it feels similar, where it's like, all right.
But the argument would be he throws for 350 yards, not, touchdowns, and no intercept.
I think what you're missing is, I'm not arguing that he deserves to be blamed. I'm saying that what people are offended by is that he is not getting the same blame that other people seem to get in those situations. But I think that he was great.
You know what? Let me ask you this. Who's he not getting the blame from? When we say he's not getting the
blame. I think it's people in sports media.
I'll tell you what. Look, man, look, I think one of the things that I think we could all do is, look, we all like certain guys.
Blame's the wrong word.
I'm not criticizing your word.
Accountability.
I think we definitely need to hold him accountable.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. And I think objectivity in this business, and when we're talking about players, for sure needs to be at the very top of the list.
Yeah.
And objectively speaking, when Josh throws picks and makes dumb decisions, it needs to be called out.
Right.
But I'm not going to call the guy out when he plays like he did 2 years ago in Kansas City.
Right.
And there's however many seconds left in the game.
13,
and they lose the game.
Right.
I'm just not going to blame him for that.
I think blame is the wrong word.
You know,
I think
I'm not going to attribute that loss to him. I'm not going to blow Josh Allen L versus Patrick Mahomes.
I think the problem is, like, Ryan Clark's been sitting on the set here and other places all year, listening to people try and make excuses for Josh Allen, right? Like, oh, the interceptions aren't so bad. Oh, he's being asked to do too much. So I think what you heard yesterday was all that kind of bubbling over, right? Because it does feel like he is analyzed differently for whatever reason than some other guys are.
You shouldn't do that.
I agree that you shouldn't do that. So, I mean, multiple things can be true, right? Like, he is great. He is, I mean, you cannot, you watch him, you watch these throws and you want this player to be a champion.
Right.
So you can tell your kids and your grandkids, right, about all the great things he did, right? So I think there's some of that, but like, he does sometimes make the wrong decision.
No question.
Too often throw interceptions. That wasn't the problem here.
No question.
If we're going to use Peyton Manning as the example, then it's not a good example because Peyton Manning, look, I know you love him. I love him. Everybody loves him. He did not play well in those three playoff games they lost.
Right.
Josh Allen did. And that's the difference. Peyton Manning was part of the reason his teams lost those games.
I would argue that the reason that he didn't play well is more complicated than we give credit for, which doesn't matter once we get far enough away from it. And like, we elevate Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, on his game-winning drive against the Chiefs, threw a ball directly into the face mask of a Kansas City Chiefs player. But it's luck and randomness. It plays a part in all of this stuff, but we don't, it just feels that for some people, we're not willing to lend them the context that we give Josh Allen. And I would argue that maybe we should treat everybody the way that we're treating Josh Allen, but until then, we should treat Josh Allen the way we treat everybody.
Let me say this about that game. The last, or maybe the last two drives or three, I can't remember what it was.
This game you're talking about, Sunday.
Josh Allen definitely fumbles it. They get it back themselves.
Right.
Those should have been an interception. I think it was McDuffie. Hits him right in the hands. Mm-hmm. Allen did not play well towards the latter part of the game, right? And I know he gets stepped on for the throw, but again, those are what you talk about, elevation. He missed guys that are open underneath. I think part of that goes Brady, the calls, like all of it goes into that. But when you're talking about the player himself and what he's done, I would say the majority of the share for him this game would be real in context versus the other game. Because at the end, they didn't show up great. That's the bottom line.
If we are
Diggs drops it, Bass misses
fine.
It,
yeah,
all
that's
up.
Fine. And I think us having the context in this conversation is fair, but you're also doing a disservice to Josh Allen because what he should know, and which I think he does know, is none of this is going to matter 20 years from now. So what we're telling Josh Allen is, I'm sorry that they came up small for you in the moment that you needed them, but it's not going to matter when we are counting the list of top quarterbacks 20 years from now. We're going to be like, damn, unless he gets the big one, we're going to say that he is not on the level of the guys who end up getting it.
And I think that the word yet needs to be in this conversation, too, because he's 27 years old.
Yeah.
You're talking about 20 years from now, he might play 13 of those years.
Right. Still, he's
there's
still
plenty
go
that could
fame.
Still happen.
He's going to go to Hall.
But I think to Ryan's point yesterday, something has to happen for Josh Allen that hasn't happened yet if we're going to end up talking about him as an all-time great.
That's maybe
true.
It's the tuck rule, and maybe it's a 50-yard field goal.
That's true.
And maybe it's not because of something that he does, but those things have to happen.
You're absolutely right. You're right. Or maybe his kicker has to drive one through a snowstorm like Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah.
You're right.
Or just not miss a short.
Or defense be incredible.
Or maybe these guys are unfortunately destined to wind up like Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing and Carl Malone and John Stockton and all of these guys who were on the dream team, the greatest players that ever lived, but none of them won championships because they had the misfortune of playing at the same time as Michael Jordan. Yeah. And that's who Patrick Mahomes is in the NFL until someone proves otherwise. Mm. Coming up, the D in Dallas stands for dysfunction. We got family business of all sorts going on with the Cowboys. We
will
try and get to the bottom. It is major trouble. Plus, does it need to be a Purdy party in San Francisco Sunday? Am I being ridiculous if I ask, could Brock's job be on the line?
Yes.
You got questions. We got answers. Lewis is going to explode. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back, and it is once again time for our favorite segment, Is That Ridiculous? Because we can take anything.
Yeah, it is.
Turn it into a bet. Okay, here we go. Lewis, if someone said the Bills should fire Sean McDermott to hire Bill Belichick, is that ridiculous?
Yeah, I'm going to say it is ridiculous. Look, I know that people right now are all over Sean McDermott, and they're all over him for a number of different reasons, namely because they just keep coming up short and not getting to a Super Bowl. But look, him and Brandon Bean have constructed a very, very good program up there. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. They were kind of outmanned on the defense side of the football against Kansas City. They will get it right eventually. I believe Buffalo will win a Super Bowl with Sean at the helm. I think they need to keep on plugging away here.
Next one is Green Bay. If I said the Packers should pay Jordan Love like a top 5 quarterback, is that ridiculous?
No, it's not ridiculous, and I'll tell you why. Contracts are supposed to represent future performance projection. If you look at him over the last 9 weeks in particular, did he project to be a top 5 quarterback in the NFL going forward? He's a top 5 quarterback in the NFL presently, minus the throw that he threw across the field against San Francisco to end the game. He is going to be one of the best in the NFL for a long time.
All right, now everyone fasten your seatbelt. If I said Brock Purdy is the weak link of the 49ers, is that ridiculous?
Man, come on now. See, now we're crossing into that realm of, I got to blame somebody. I got to put somebody down. I got to talk crap about somebody. The guy was having a historic season. Historic season.
Yep.
Okay, he is as efficient as they come. Ask Kyle Shanahan whether or not he thinks that he's the weak link of his football team. You can point to a number of different players. How about the right side of their offensive line? Ooh. Keep an eye on that position group this Sunday when they go against Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah. Keep an eye on Colton McKevitz when he's lined up against Aiden Hutchinson one-on-one. If you want to find a weak link.
Ooh.
Okay, Brock Purdy. Come on now. Come on. He's not the weak link.
What is the end of that sentence, though? Because what exactly is he? The last few weeks, he has crashed back to earth at least a little bit. The game against Baltimore,
okay.
The game against Green Bay, he did not look the way he had looked much of the season.
You know, there are great quarterbacks in this league who have had spurts where you sit there and you go, what's wrong with these guys? Patrick Mahomes has had moments, and I'm not comparing Patrick Mahomes to Brock Purdy, where we sat there and we looked at Patrick and we're going, is he broken?
Mm.
People use those phrases, right? Patrick Mahomes is broken. Patrick Mahomes isn't as good as he was anymore. Patrick Mahomes can't be good without Tyreek Hill, et cetera, et cetera. Guys go through highs and lows. Baltimore had him confused. He was seeing things against Baltimore. Mike McDonald's a damn good defensive coordinator. Baltimore's going to be in the Super Bowl more than likely. Let me go back there. Forget that part. I said that Kansas City.
On Tuesday?
But I'm just going to say this. Look, Brock Purdy is one of those guys who operates this offense at a very, very high level, makes good decisions. The wet weather obviously affected him. That is an issue going forward.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to be an issue until it's not, until he corrects that. But as far as his decision-making accuracy, the ability to make all the throws and command of the offense, come on.
Yeah, I mean,
not the weak link.
Calling him the weak link, I think there is some, like, deciding factors there. Like, he's the link that you might want to test, but he hasn't been the weak link. He's up and down through the course. Well, he's been up most of the season, but he's down when they lose some players. So I think arguing that Brock Purdy is on the level as a Josh Allen would be foolish. foolish. He's not that guy. But he is a top tier,
physically,
in the words of Cam Newton, game manager, which has showed his ability to, in this game, he had a big comeback in the game, which is something we thought that.
Can I just say this real quick?
Go.
Okay, so San Francisco is playing Cleveland, right? This is one of the games that all the people who want to bash Brock Purdy point to. Right. Well, how did he look against the Cleveland Browns? They lost that game. Do you remember that he drove them in the position to win the game?
Right, and they missed a field goal.
Kicker missed a field goal?
Yeah.
So what, contest. Anyone want to tell me about that contest? Like, does that matter to you? Does it matter to you that he actually played those? Does that matter or not?
No, but what matters is are two things, I think, for the purposes of the way people view him. One, that he sort of got plugged into what we perceive to be the best coached offense in the league with unbelievable talent that we saw Jimmy Garoppolo take to a Super Bowl. And two, the fact that he was the last pick in the entire draft. People just don't lose that bias.
They refuse to let it go.
For reason.
They refuse.
So that, but there was a moment in time not that long ago when he was the leading candidate for MVP in the league. He had the shortest betting
and
odds
here's the
for MVP of the league.
This is the thing that frustrates people, right? And I know RC said it as well, right? It frustrates him that he has to have this conversation that Brock Purdy was in the MVP conversation.
Should he not have been?
He absolutely should have been. He was number – I asked Himbo, hey, Himbo, send me some stats. He's like, just say first in everything because that's what Purdy was for the majority of the season. First in everything. You can blame the situation he fell into. You can blame the players he is. You can account all of that. But here's the deal. You still have to go out and execute.
Right.
You still got to go do your part. I know for a long time, he threw the most tight window passes in the NFL with the highest completion rate during that. All of those things matter. You still have to do your part because you're surrounded with talent doesn't mean the most talented team doesn't always win. So it's a slight at Purdy because he can't do.
It is a slight at Purdy, and I think that it's unfair in some context, but just looking at the stats, anybody can look at the stats. I think that when we have a hard time is putting Purdy in these conversations is when you watch the games of certain players. They have a different impact on the game, I think.
For sure.
Josh Allen comes up, Mahomes, obviously, Lamar Jackson. So when you're talking about an MVP solely based on stats, any fool can look at
who's got the highest QBR. But hold on now. Hold on, though. But hold on. See, earlier in this show, we're arguing down Josh Allen because he doesn't win.
That's exactly win.
But when Brock Purdy wins, it's like, well, you know what? So it doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't quite give me the same kind of feelings that these other guys do because he's not the same athlete.
Championship.
See, we moved the goalpost on the dude.
It's not about feelings and it's not about moving the goalpost.
Yes, but it is.
It is.
But I also think it's important to consider like the situation in this respect. When you're putting together a team, isn't one of the important questions to ask who is this guy for us?
Of course it is.
Not just, I'm not going to plug any quarterback in here. I need a certain kind of player here.
Right.
And for Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy has been that kind of player. He doesn't need to throw the ball 60 yards in a line
Brock
like Josh
Purdy
Allen.
Right now, if I'm Brock Purdy and I'm sitting here watching this show or I'm watching any show, I'm sitting there going, one minute they're saying all they care about with quarterbacks is winning, but I win and people go,
come on,
that's not but it is true.
That's not
it is because you
saying.
Said it's about that's stats. You're saying you're using stats to justify. It was stats and wins.
Okay, well, I'm not. If Brock Purdy would have continued the season, they beat the Ravens, and he goes on to win the Super Bowl. Goes on to win the MVP. I'm not going to knock him for winning the MVP.
Right.
But what I am going to say to you is that it's different. It's not trying to say that he's not good. Saying that his impact on the game is definitely different than somebody like Lamar's. And I'm not. I don't mean
that's a different conversation. That's a different conversation.
Look, they tried.
That's a different conversation.
They drafted Trey Lance, traded up to take Trey Lance with a completely different skill set. For whatever reason, it didn't wind up working out.
I'm still salty about it.
If Josh Allen was the quarterback of the 49ers, they would never lose a game again. As we continue.
No.
All right. Mel Kiper's first mock draft is out. It just dropped.
Here we go.
Everyone in Chicago is waiting to see what he did at number one. You will hear it from him coming up next. Plus, the showdown in Baltimore.
Ooh,
what is it say for Lamar Jackson as he takes on Patrick with legacies at stake? Plus, do not miss First Take today. Top of the hour, don't miss a special guest, The Rock, with a big announcement. That's on the way this morning on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network.
all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Bottom of the hour, get up, and they are the most magical words in football. Mel Kiper's mock draft, his first of the year, is available right now on ESPN.com. And he's got quarterbacks going with each of the top three picks. He does have Caleb Williams going one to Chicago, Jaden Daniels, the Heisman winner, two to Washington, Drake May, three to New England, followed by two pass catchers, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, rounding out the top five. We have a lot of things to get into with Mel. It is always a pleasure. Lewis is yelling at you from the side here all during the break. But everyone in Chicago was watching and listening. The huge conversation there has been about the decision at one involving Caleb Williams and indirectly Justin Fields. Why do you have the Bears moving on from Fields and taking Caleb?
Caleb was a special quarterback, and I think when you look at back at 2022 when he had that phenomenal year, Greeny, this year he actually completed a higher percentage of those passes in a so-called down year from the Arizona game on. Everybody remembers the Notre Dame game, but at 68%, he doesn't throw interceptions. Over the last 2 years, guys, he's been responsible for rushing and passing, 93 touchdowns, 10 picks. You think about resetting the clock. Mike Tannenbaum talks a lot about that every time, right? If it's even, you take Caleb. Unless Justin Fields is significantly better in your mind right now where he is than rolling the dice on Caleb, people say it's an unknown on Caleb. Well, it's an unknown on Justin whether he can be a franchise quarterback. So I would trade Justin Fields, try to recoup that second-round pick. You lost with the Montez Sweat trade, which was a great trade. Montez Sweat's a heck of a player. And maybe get a fourth-round pick, 2-4, 2-3. Grimes can talk about that. Bottom line is trading Justin Fields right now makes the most sense. Taking Caleb Williams has a chance to be, I'm not going to say generational because I've still said it with Lawrence, and Lawrence hasn't gotten there yet, but he could be one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. That's what you're hoping for. That's why you take him number one overall.
All right, and this is a debate that will go on, and certainly at least until the combine, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about that once the games are done. One more on this, though, and then I want to get your take on some of the stuff this weekend. But I think many people will be surprised to see you putting Jaden Daniels ahead of Drake May, 2 versus 3. Why do you give the edge to the Heisman winner there?
He was remarkable, and I went to Herm Edward. Herm compares him to Randall Cunningham. And Lamar Jackson comps are going to be out there, but Herm said he's Randall Cunningham. I'll take that. I think the dual threat ability, Greeny, the what he did this year and last year, the great thing about Jaden is he is aggressive with his legs, he's aggressive with his arm, but he doesn't turn the ball over. And to strike that balance is really rare and really impressive to me. And I think when you look at Jaden Daniels, the way he can attack a defense, the fear factor player he is, defensive coordinators don't want to have to scheme to try to handle this guy. And Drake May didn't have that super unbelievable season that he needed to have. He had some struggles against Virginia, NC State, a couple games where he was throwing some picks, not really basically precise and accurate with throws that were easy throws that you got to make. But Drake also had a new coordinator. He didn't have Josh Downs. He didn't have Tez Walker early in the year. So you can excuse away some things. Bottom line is I'm not going to hate on Drake May. I really like Drake May. But when you talk about the second overall pick right now, I think Jaden Daniels right now has the edge going into this whole draft process leading up to late April.
All right, so all these will be topics that we'll be diving into significantly between now and April. In the meantime, Mel, I want your take and everyone here to get in on two teams that are going to be picking very late in round one, the Chiefs and the Ravens, who, of course, face off Sunday for the AFC Championship as Lamar Jackson tries to avoid the same fate that Josh Allen has seen time and again falling against the great Patrick Mahomes. The two have not met since 2021. Mahomes in four career matchups is 3-1 and has thoroughly outplayed Jackson, completing 71% of his passes, throwing for at least 340 yards in every one of those games. Lamar Jackson has four touchdowns in the four games. He and his team have trailed by at least a touchdown in every one of those games. And So again, here we go again. I mean, just as we did early in the show, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes will not at any point be playing against each other in this game, but we are going to make it about this. And so I want to start with this, and everyone knows Mel, the pride of Baltimore. This is the Ravens are his team. So we'll get him. I want him in this conversation. But Nick, I'll start with you. We've talked so much about Allen. What is at stake for Lamar Jackson Sunday?
Everything. I mean, it's everything. Of course, he's going to have a long career, and he might get back to this, but this will be the second time that he's had the number one overall seed. And last time, to the point that we made earlier, the context doesn't necessarily matter once we get further away, but to be fair, they had a more remedial offense, and also their defense was a little bit more simplistic. They are now in a position, and we saw in the course of this game, where through Lamar pushing them to do so, they've evolved the offense to where they have answers for everything. And now, I think while no one was willing to extend Lamar excuses in the past, you could have said that about the offense. But it's harder to extend those now. When you saw in this game, they blitzed them in the first half. They come out in the second half, they have an answer for the blitz. They didn't have that before. And it's not that Lamar was incapable of performing in those situations. It's that the offense didn't have answers to certain things. They had answers, and Lamar, you watch him play. His advancement and how smart he is with making his decisions, not just to throw the ball, but run the ball. You see that so often. He's missed some time last year where you watch him, it's like he's playing at 75%, and he's making these decisions that are helping this team and keeping himself healthy. What he's done so far this season has been incredible. But if he loses this weekend, none of that context is going to matter.
Yeah. What's even cooler about what you mentioned in the second half about the adjustments that they made was that Todd Monken said Lamar came to him.
Yeah.
And told him, look, I know we want to push the ball down the field, but we can't. We can't block them. We have to shorten this stuff up. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble here. So he took it upon himself, which goes back to an even bigger discussion that John Harbaugh had with us for the Week 18 game against Pittsburgh, that Lamar has been entrusted to run this thing.
Yeah.
So right now, it's his show. Yeah, Todd Monken is helping him kind of structure it and organize it, but what's happening on the field and the way in which they go about games is all about him. And I don't think there's any question, this is huge for them. Huge. That's why picking this game is going to be interesting team. Because you know what? If you're Patrick Mahomes, you're going in there going, hey, man, I'm already made.
Yeah.
All I'm coming here to do is once again is to crush people's dreams again. I'm supposed to be the Grim Reaper again. You know what I mean? This is wild for Lamar and for Baltimore, and you're right. The discussions will be out of control if they don't win this game.
It's monumental, and I would say it this way, too. When you talk about D'Amico Ryans last week had an incredible play. He brought that. They weren't leaving nothing on the bus, man. They brought it. Yep. I don't think Baltimore, after they expected what they got. So to your point, not having the answer in the first quarter or second quarter probably is not shocking because no one has done that, right, including D'Amico Ryans and the way that he called his defense all season. They do something different. So Todd goes in. Lamar says, hey, I want to change it. It wasn't super complicated. Where the blitz is coming from, drop it down. Let's go make plays. That's what he did. When you talk about the Ravens, I think the emphasis has to be not only is this a monumental game for Lamar, it's for they're the better team. They have played and beaten better teams. They are ready for this thing. Everybody talked about, you know, Kansas City slow. They're this, they're that on offense. They're not what they once were. All of a sudden, all the pressure goes to Lamar because their team is better. The expectations are you're the one seed again. You got to close this thing out. Otherwise, we're going to have we're going to have a Josh Allen conversation.
Let me get Mel back in here again. Ooh. These are your Ravens. They're expected to win, maybe more so than at any time in this generation. I get that they were the one seed,
right,
but that year was unexpected. This year,
they've
blown out everybody good in the league so far. They're expected to win this Sunday, Mel. What's the feeling?
Lamar's a superstar regardless. I agree with the guys that you're defined by how you play in these games, and winning these games separates you at the end of your career with other great quarterbacks. I think the home field advantage is huge. Ravens, M&T Bank Stadium, been on that field, it is loud, guys, and that creates get behind the sticks where you have the false start penalties. The offensive line can't communicate. We saw Houston have those breakdowns last week. Kansas City will have those breakdowns as well this week. So huge crowd noise, home field advantage for the Ravens. Played a day earlier. They're coming off a thriller game. They were stressed to the end, had some injuries, the Chiefs did. The guy said it, the Ravens are the better team. You got to win this game. But again, you need help. Why did Josh Allen lose? Because they missed a field goal, could have sent it in, maybe they put pressure on Mahomes. The year, couple years ago, what happened? Butker made the field goal, right? Yeah. That got it into overtime. Butker misses that field goal, Josh wins that game. Bass makes the field goal, maybe Josh wins this game. So Lamar, like all quarterbacks, needs is going to need help from his teammates, and they got a great kicker in Tucker.
Context,
so it comes
Mel.
Down to a field yeah. goal, I'll trust Tucker.
Mel was watching the beginning of the show.
No context allowed, Mel.
When the Ravens gathered in the offseason.
Just shut up with the Josh Allen stuff, okay? After,
oh, wait, time out, time out. I'm a talk show host. I can't ignore that.
Yes.
What? Go, Mel, go. Who needs to, what do you mean by shut up with the Josh Allen stuff?
Shutting up.
I keep hearing blame. Anything, when you hear blame in Josh Allen, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Josh Allen was daggone near perfect in that game. People said the last drive. Last time I checked, he got him in field goal range for a makeable field goal. Last time I checked, he might have had a touchdown pass to Shakir had it not been hit as he was throwing that football. This guy played his tail off, did everything he could, and anybody that associates blame with Josh Allen is nuts.
Well, fortunately, no one on this show today has.
Thank you.
No.
All we have talked about is
just
putting it in the context.
Receive it.
If he can't get over the hump and win at some point, history will not remember him as an all-time great.
Nobody said blame.
You know what you did? That word's even been uttered on the show today.
You know what you just did, though?
Yeah.
This is why I love you, Mel.
Yes.
This is why I freaking love you, and I can't wait to get to Detroit. You gave context, and the people don't want context. They want somebody's head on a stake.
I love it.
And or they want to put them up on the throne.
I still love you, dog.
They don't want context.
I know. I
still love Gross.
It's my responsibility to communicate better, I guess, because it's frustrating.
No, it's not.
He wasn't talking about you.
For Mel, and I think a lot of fans probably feel the same way. They watch this show and they hear that me and you are trying to blame Josh.
Yeah.
That's not at all what we're trying to do.
The very people that say that we don't pay enough attention to nuance are not paying enough attention to our own nuance when we have these conversations.
Go. I'm trying to say that we are explaining to Josh and to Mel and to anyone else that the context does matter. But once we get further away from this, he is going to be judged by the final results.
Right.
And I think that we could talk about all these games. We could even talk about the egg that the Cowboys dropped. They had a rough start to that game.
Yeah.
Their defense didn't pick them up. I was in Baltimore watching that game, and the Ravens offense didn't look great at the beginning.
Yeah.
But you know what? They did not get in a situation where Lamar was down 24 points. If that happens, we're having a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
So every game has context, pick and choose the times we want to have the context. We came in here after Dallas lost. We weren't saying Dak didn't have the support and they put him in a no-win situation off the top. We're saying Dak can't get over the big one. And that's the frustrating part.
When we come in here
after Josh Allen loses, we're like, hey, they should have helped him here. They should have helped him there. And we don't do the same thing for all quarterbacks.
All right, I have to leave it.
By the way, Mel, I had something really nice to say about Lamar Jackson and Mel interrupted me. So now you don't get to hear that either.
Yeah, take that, Mel.
Mel's good.
Mel, again.
He's a superstar, guys. Nothing else to say.
His first mock draft is available on ESPN.com right now. If you like a lot of offensive skill position players, you're going to like the top of it.
No
Mel,
defense,
we'll check in
no
with
line.
You soon. Thank you. You are the
best. Love you, Mel.
Now, the tackles fell a little bit in his initial mock draft, which surprised me. Australian Open
Alcaraz
coverage. Maybe they fall to the Jets. Australian Open quarters coverage continues tonight. 9 Eastern, you'll see Carlos Alcaraz. You can stream every match live on ESPN+. All right, coming up, the D in Big D stands for drama. Not since Who Shot JR have we had this much family squabbling in Dallas. We will get to the bottom of all of that. But first, let's see if Graziano can get to the bottom of this. So Travis Kelce has 5 receiving touchdowns in the conference championship game. That is tied for the most all time. With who? The answer's next.
Alcaraz can play corner in NFL.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, sneaky Hembo for Graziano. Here we go. So Travis Kelce has 5 career touchdown catches in conference championship games. That is tied for the most all time with whom?
Yeah, I don't know. It's got to be somebody who played in a lot of them, right? So we're rattling off Jerry Rice and Michael Irvin and James Lofton, somebody throughout there. I just don't know. I'm going to guess Michael Irvin. I have no idea. Michael Irvin's my guess.
Michael Irvin is second. The answer is John Stallworth of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hembo missed one? Grass missed one?
His team's... They made a lot of these. Michael Irvin.
Makes total sense.
Michael Irvin, Julio Jones, and Jerry Rice.
Julio Jones had, were next. He had 2 or 3 in one of them, I think.
He has to go back. Hembo, that's a terrible question. I mean, anytime the photo is that old. I don't appreciate the question. One way or another, we'll put the scoreboard up. I don't think that one should count.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
We'll have a vote on that a little bit later.
I have to get to the family drama
in Dallas, all right? Because we've got a series of social media posts. If you haven't seen this yet, I swear I'm not making any of it up. CeeDee Lamb's mother posted on Facebook that she wished her son would be traded and added, quote, Dak isn't it, all in capital letters with multiple exclamation points. Dak's brother Tad, who is a friend of the show, went on X over the weekend and posted, Cowboys fans who continue to DM me, trust me, if I could get Dak to leave Dallas, I would. Meanwhile, Micah Parsons' brother, Terrence, got into the act, saying that Dak needs to take a team-friendly deal. He posted on X, Dak should, quote, take $40 million or pack your bags. So Micah Parsons responded. He posted, any comments made by Terrence Parsons Jr. are his and his alone. As you know, if I have something to say, I'm not afraid to say it. I love my team, my brothers on my team in the city of Dallas, and I'm more committed than ever to bring a championship to the greatest fan base on earth. So Jeff Saturday, I mean,
it's Mad Libs, right? Player's mother says critical thing about other players.
The best part about that whole thing is how Greeny read, pack your bags.
Pack your bag.
That's what he wrote. So I mean, the bottom line of it is this. I mean, this is, I don't even know what to say about this. Yeah. We've seen little subtle shots.
That's ridiculous.
This is the star receiver's mother saying very publicly, Dak isn't it, in all caps. That is the spelling and that is the punctuation.
Family matters, right? This is an issue. And it's going to be an issue for the offseason. I will say, I've kind of changed my tune. We talked about it even after when we went to commercial, we discussed this before. But the personal context in which you are coming at players, you know, Dak isn't the guy, or
he should take it.
Yeah, he should take this or do that. Like, when you start directing people, that becomes very personal. And as you walk back in that locker room, you're going to have a hug it out, because ultimately they are all better together. And I think that's what people don't want to see. They're short-sighted thinking, oh, we're going to get rid of the next guy is going to be better or the next whatever. It's always greener. That's not the truth. CeeDee had his best year yet. Dak had his best year, right? So they have these situations in place where they can all get better together. This does not help any scenario. Everybody's emotional. Everybody's raw because of the way the season ended. This is a bad place to be, and I think all of them would do well to do what Micah did. Hey, I disagree with whatever was said. We're moving on from that.
Yeah, I don't want to be talking about people's families, but they really should get their people to be quiet.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't helping nobody. This ain't no good for you. It's not good for the player. It's not good for Dak Prescott. I will say this, though. There is an amount of pressure that being an NFL quarterback, puts on you, and then there's being the quarterback for the Cowboys.
Oh,
and it is a whole different animal, because as we talk about all this context, we can look at Dak's record in the playoffs, and we can look at his stats in the playoffs, and there's a lot of other reasons that we could point to, and Dak is way down on the list of things that need to change if they're going to win a championship. And it sucks because the fans and family members, they're not willing or capable of understanding all of that, and they want to spout off. And then to top it off, like I mentioned, this ain't good. Like, this ain't helping your son or brother. This ain't helping Dak. This ain't helping Jerry. This ain't helping
nobody. Dak's going to take less now. They told him, take less.
Perspective. I mean, your son had 1,700 yards. Somebody threw the ball. I mean, like, Dak is something, right? Like, yeah, I don't know.
Is there something, anything, if you're Mike McCarthy, if you're someone there, I mean, do you need to get every, this is the off season. I mean, everyone should be right now where, you know, they're in the Bahamas or in wherever it is, relaxing. But we can't have this.
I think we're definitely getting on a Zoom or something. We all need to talk a little bit here. Because look, see, what have we spent the better part of 2 hours talking about, right? We've been talking about context, chemistry. It's a team game. People have to work together. Everybody's interdependent. I mean, it's an interdependent sport and all.
Yeah.
We're talking about a franchise quarterback, franchise wide receiver, who the franchise wide receiver's mom said, the quarterback ain't it.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't say
not good.
He needs to be a little bit better, or maybe my son needs to be used this way. He said, he ain't it.
Right.
Okay, and see, there's like levels to insults too, right?
Yes.
Like, there's like, if you tell me I ain't it, or what's the other one, and you tell a football player, like, it's like the gloves are coming off. You call somebody soft?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, there's certain things that are going to be real hard to get past.
Yeah.
And see, that's there's nothing good that can come out of this.
The context of it also, if you see the post itself, she is responding to someone who was saying, CD should come to Houston. Mm. And she writes, that would be awesome. CJ is great. She's referring to CJ Stroud. Right. And then writes, Dak isn't it. So it is a direct criticism. Yeah. It is a direct attack, might be too strong a word. Mm. But I mean, it is a direct shot.
What you're saying is, that guy is better than the quarterback he got now. I'd love to see him with that guy.
That guy who's got 1 year in the league. Is better than this guy.
So now you're Dak. I mean, you know, look, I mean, yeah, I mean if I you're think, waking up and you're Dak, you're like, what?
I'll tell you what. My hat's off to Dak Prescott.
Yes, that's
because
true.
This guy catches more
every year
than, I mean, it's amazing to me.
Yeah.
It's amazing how he's constantly at the front of someone's lips. Constantly people are talking about Dak. Yeah. And very rarely is it good.
Yeah.
Right. You know, despite the fact that he is incredible.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough place to be. And that's the point I was making about being the quarterback for the Cowboys. It is different. Once you retire, you can make a lot of money doing other stuff. But while you're in the league, you got to deal with a whole
teammates, mothers coming at you.
And like we
brothers.
Said, here's the issue for Jerry, too. This team, you kept McCarthy. Believe it, you're hoping you can keep Quinn. Quinn might move on, and then you have to have fun. But you're keeping McCarthy, trying to keep everything status quo and run this thing back. If there's this much trouble at this point, we got.
I mean, it's ridiculous. He keeps taking all the flack and hearing all the smack. Never goes on the attack. It's whack, and that's why they lack. But maybe they'll bounce back. First Take is coming up top.
That's a lot right there.
What message did Joel Embiid send to the rest of the NBA? They'll answer that question. And don't miss the message from Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. Special announcement. First Take today. Top of the hour. Get Up is brought to you by Freeform. Chrissy and Dave Dine Out premieres tomorrow, streams next day on Hulu. Meanwhile, Super Tuesday College Hoops, 7 Eastern. I've got Oklahoma, Texas on ESPN, Florida State, Syracuse on ESPN2. Very quickly, CBS has announced Chiefs Bills Sunday was the most watched divisional playoff game ever.
Wow.
50 million people watched it.
How much we get out of that?
50 million people.
Is that a lot?
First Take now.